Praise the Lord, church. We want to welcome you to Wednesday night Bible study here at the Lighthouse. Thank you for coming out. We want to encourage you to participate in the Bible study. Share your comments, share your questions, answer questions. This is a Bible study where we like to get you involved. We want to hear what you have to say. We know that God has put something in your heart, and we need to hear it. So this is the second part of the second series of the discipleship teaching as a whole that we've been doing here at the Lighthouse. We started out with evangelism or outreach, and then we went into our target season downtown, which I believe there were people in Cary who were ministered to, people who received what they need from the Word of God and from His people. And now we're getting into the discipleship series to help cultivate the Word of God into God's people. And so I want to encourage you to share what God is doing inside of you and what God has been doing in your scope of the world that God has put you in. So I want to share a couple of things tonight. We're going to start here talking about the cost of discipleship. And this will be a theme throughout the lesson tonight, several other places, but I want to talk about the cost of discipleship. Now, how many knows that salvation is free, right? Nobody paid for your salvation but Jesus, right? We can't do anything to earn it. Salvation is absolutely free. It's a free gift of God. But Jesus says in His Word that to be His disciple is going to cost us some things. Okay? It's going to cost us some things. Now, right away, our minds can go to worldly things, right? Well, what is it going to cost me to be a disciple? That's not what we're talking about here. And I want to go into the scripture here, Matthew chapter 16. And I want to read these verses. Matthew chapter 16. And I'm going to read in verse 26. No, let me back up to 25. Matthew 16, 25 says this: "If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it." So I want to read that again. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Anybody have any idea what that means? What is he talking about, giving up your life? Does he mean that we need to go out and be a martyr for the gospel, for the sake of the gospel? Is that what he's talking about here? I see some heads shaking. No. Sister Maggie.
You would be giving up your old life and giving your life to Christ at the cross. Uh-huh. And that way you're losing your the old man,
right,
and becoming new, and
right,
will be following Christ in His righteousness.
So we lay down a life of sin, which is what we want sometimes, right? We want what feels good to the flesh. We want to do what we want to do. But we know that God's standards are different than our standards, right? So God requires us to live by His standards. And in order for us to do that, what do we need to do? We need to put our faith in Christ, right? We need to put our faith in Christ because He supplies all of our needs. If we could get to heaven on our own or be right on our own, we wouldn't need Christ. Amen. So we need to put our faith in Him. That's what God requires, right? Is faith. Faith and obedience. Faith and obedience. And I want to read this here, and it might have been another writer wrote this, or they're not my words, but it says, it is costly because it costs a man his life, and it is grace because it gives a man the only true life. Sister April, did you have a comment or a question?
Just going back to what you're thinking or talking about as far as what does it look like? What does it, how do we do that? I think a lot of it is having to understand and get people to know that there's a plumb line. There has to be a right and there has to be a wrong, or in this world that we're living in, that's why it's so different, is people can hear things. You know, the Bible talks about you don't want to be like the chaff and just blown to and fro from thoughts and things that you hear, but you have to have something to base everything on. There has to be an ultimate truth. And I think people get confused because in the world we live in, not a lot of people read their Bible. I mean, they just don't. They hear at Word, at Sundays, you know, if they're blessed to have a church that has Bible studies, they learn, and it's a gift that we have here, that it is cultivated, that, you know, reading your Word is so important because that is your bread, that is your life, that is your sustainment. And we get to people to understand that it's not rules and it's not do's and don'ts, but it's right. A relationship, as in when you stand before Jesus, you want him to look at you and you don't want to see shame, but it's you want to know that you've lined your life up with his word and that you've done your best to show people that's the way.
Right.
You know, will you do it perfect? No, but we try. You know, we lay it down at the feet of Jesus, our life, and say, here we are. We're trying, and he'll take it and he'll bless it.
Right. Absolutely. He does bless our efforts. And then when we are led by the Spirit of God is when we make our biggest impact. It's when we make our biggest impact. So I want to talk a little bit more here about what does a disciple look like. Okay, first of all, a disciple lays his life down for the kingdom of God. And so I'd like to say a few things about what that doesn't mean. It is going to be different for everybody. And we know the story about the rich young ruler who Jesus said, you need to go and sell all that you have and give the money to the poor. But that's what he needed to do in order to follow the will of God in his life. Now, we all can't sell everything that we own and give the money to the poor. Because if we look in the New Testament, where did most of the funds for the church come from? The church. If everyone in the church is poor, the church can't help itself out. Is what I'm saying making sense? Kind of a little bit, maybe? Okay. So we all can't be poor and we all can't sell everything we have, but we can give what we have to the work of the kingdom of God. And whether that's material things, whether that's money, whether that's talent, whether that's time, whatever your resources that God has given you, we should give that into the kingdom. But being a disciple of Jesus doesn't mean that we have to go and sell everything that we have and give the money to the poor. It doesn't look like that. And it doesn't mean necessarily that we have to quit our job that we're in and be in full-time ministry. That's not what that means. If we truly are a believer in Christ and we've sold out to him, we've laid down our lives, the job that I work is a full-time ministry field. Now, there's other things that are incorporated in that, of course. You're working out in the world. But wherever you're at, wherever God has placed you, that is your field of ministry. And that is where God wants you to flourish, and that is where God wants you to prosper. And he will help you do that. He will help you do that. And he will use you in a way to influence the people around you so that you can begin to disciple them. Introduce them to Jesus and then disciple them for the kingdom of God. And that's what we're talking about, is being a disciple and discipling others. If we fail to live in this world as a disciple of Jesus, it is likely that the disciples that we go and make will do the same thing. In other words, I can't just say I'm a disciple maker. I need to be a disciple myself. I need to fall under the authority of Christ in my life and let myself be taught and led by the Spirit of God so that I can then in turn give someone what I've been giving, and it's a fresh flow. I'm not giving someone something that's stagnant and old. I'm not just reciting words that I've memorized. I'm giving someone something that's fresh and that's living. Does that make sense? I'm getting a lot of blank stares. Maybe it's just the way I'm reading everybody. But that's okay. So I want to read a definition. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Sister Sally.
To be a disciple, that's not an easy thing for a human being. And it's something that it just doesn't come on you.
Right.
It's something you have to learn. And you learn it by reading the Bible. And we have to always keep Christ first. Like Sister April said, he always has to be uppermost in our minds.
Amen. Yes.
All the time. And without we should lean on the Spirit, because without the Spirit, it's really hard, because we're human and we think of, I'm okay, you know, and I don't have to read that Bible today because I got so much laundry to do and stuff, uh-huh. And the kids are yelling, hollering, I'll just skip it.
Right.
Well, we can't do that. It's something to love Jesus, you have to learn him. And you just don't learn him on your own. You have to really study and think. That in order to be a good disciple, that's what we want to give to others. And when you love Christ and he's first in your heart, and you're out and you talk to people, they see you, they'll say, oh, that there's something that sparkles, that shines out from that person. Mm-hmm. And then they get curious and they go around talking. Because it shows, and
right.
You don't have to say, now sit down here, I want to disciple you. I want you to, it's
yeah.
something you do slowly, because it's a learning process, just
sure.
like it's a learning for us. And it's really hard in young people that's raising the young group, that's
yeah.
raising their family.
Right.
It's much easier on us old people, because we've got all that behind us. But it's something that's really hard to do, is learn.
Yeah.
Learn Christ. Because
right.
we got to learn him, because you don't love him if you don't know him. And when I say learn, I mean really, really get to know him.
Yeah. Right. You never outgrow being a disciple. It doesn't matter whether you're 2 or whether you're 102. All of us who bear the name of Christ need to be disciples or learners or followers of Christ. We need to continue to follow him, because he's still leading us at every point in our lives. Whether we're young, middle-aged, old, it doesn't matter. God is still leading us, and if we will follow him, God will produce his fruit in us, and other people will see that fruit, as Sister Sally's saying, and they'll be drawn in and say, hey, something's different here. And so that's the goal, is to draw other people unto Christ so that they can know him and form their own relationship with him, and then teach others to do the same. Disciples making disciples. But here is a definition of a disciple. Is a follower of Christ who obeys his teaching and teaches others to do the same through relationship connection. Now, Jesus, when he began discipling, who we know as to be the apostles, he began to build a relationship with them. And he did that through spending time with them. Right? When Jesus came to him, he said, hey, come and follow me. They came and followed him. Like, that's what they did. There's countless examples in the New Testament of they traveled together. They ate together. This is what they did. And it consumed their time. They began to build a relationship with Jesus, and therefore they began to trust him when they saw that he was trustworthy, right? And that's what we need to do, is build relationship with people, show them, hey, we are trustworthy people. We want to build a relationship with you. We want to know you. We want to care. We care about you. We want to know what's going on in your life so that we can help you, show you that we care. How many of you know hurting people need Jesus, right? Sometimes as Christians, we're hurting people and we still need Jesus, right? And we understand the importance of ministering the gospel, because it is life and it is death. It's a matter of life and death, right? So we continue to do that because we know how important it is. So being a follower of Jesus is a great responsibility. What what do we think a follower of Jesus looks like? What do we think a follower of Jesus would look like? What do we think is important? What's one of the most important things to you that you would say, this quality has to be in a follower of Jesus? Anybody? Okay.
Well, I want to start by asking a question. Is every Christian a disciple? Is every Christian a disciple? Sometimes we put the term disciple as it is almost a category of a Christian. So you're a Christian the moment you come to Christ, but you have to prove that you're a disciple. That's anti-biblical. Because the moment you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're already a disciple. Now, that doesn't mean that you have proved to be a disciple. Why I say that? Because we gotta go to the root of the terms. The term Christian was not even a good term when it was first used. Actually, they were called Christians in a denigrating way by the heathens. And the reason they called us Christians were because we were saying that we followed the Christ. So they started calling Christians in a derogatory way. The term disciple, it was simply the term used for Jewish people to talk about a follower of a certain rabbi. Rabbis had disciples. All the rabbis had people under their teachings that they would teach. And those were called disciples. Jesus was also a rabbi. So in the Jewish context, they saw Jesus as another rabbi with followers. However, no rabbi ever died for the sins of the world. Right. Jesus was the only one who did it. Mm-hmm. Therefore, when a rabbi died, then the followers had no one to follow. In the case of Jesus, he raised back from the dead on the third day. Therefore, the followers kept following him and expanding his message all over the world, so other people would follow his teachings, becoming his disciple. That's why we have disciples still nowadays, because Jesus is alive and because we still obey and follow his teachings. But we cannot look at the terms in the modern context without looking at the old context in which the term was established. Let's never forget that our beliefs started on a Jewish tradition. And we always have to go back there, not to be Jewish, but to understand better the term. A disciple is simply somebody who follows the teachings of a rabbi. Who is his name? Rabbi Jesus. The one that was dead, but now is alive and reigns forever. So we don't become a disciple by being better. We become a disciple simply by following his teachings, obeying. For some people, it's faster. Some other people need more time. That does not qualify Christians better than others, mm-hmm. or a better disciple. Mm-hmm. We are all, like Sister said, a work in progress and in process. But since the moment you come to Jesus and you say, Jesus, I want to follow you, he sees you as a follower, as a disciple. And then you start learning, right. learning, right. learning.
Yeah.
And your desire as you learn is to make others also followers for Jesus.
Yeah, amen. And that's a good point that Pastor Darius brought up. Because if we begin to follow Jesus and we fail because Jesus says, hey, I'm going this way, and we're afraid to go, does that mean we failed as a disciple and it's over? You and me both, brother. No, it doesn't mean that it's over, because the grace of God is sufficient God in his mercy understands our weaknesses, right? We serve a high priest who understands our weaknesses. And so he knows, hey, Jesse's weak in this area. And so I'm going to come and I'm going to strengthen him so that the next time I call him in this direction, he's just going to go. And if the second time Jesse says, I am afraid to go over there because that's scary over there. I've never been over there and I don't know what that looks like. And so I decide not to go. Does that mean it's over? I may have missed a good opportunity, right? Because God's calling me over there. But eventually, because I'm listening to the Spirit of God and I'm following him in my life, I'm going to yield to his Spirit and say, okay, it's time for me to walk this way. And I begin to walk that way. And the leader is right here and I'm following him. Holding his hand, maybe he carries me a little bit of the way. But it's our faith and obedience that pleases God. Right? So don't be discouraged if we have an opportunity to say something to someone or go in a direction we feel God is leading us and we feel like we failed miserably. Sometimes we do. Right? But God in his grace and his mercy is not going to let that be it. He's going to pick us back up. He's going to encourage us. He's going to give us strength. And that's why it's important for us as believers to seek God and to follow him and read his word daily. Because if we don't, when we fall down, when we fail, it's easy for us to stay there if we're not being encouraged by his word. How many know that there is a continual spiritual attack on Christians today? It's continual. That means it's always happening, right? But when we put on the armor of God, the enemy's tactics are useless, right? Now we feel things, okay, we're not going to be like super Christians and just blow through everything in life, but God has given us what we need to be successful by his standards. His standards are faith and obedience. That's what we need to do, right? So be encouraged. If you've made a mistake this week, God is here to pick you up, he's here to pick me up, and he's here to get us on the right path. Okay, so don't give up, don't quit. Sometimes it's hard. We get in our flesh and we don't say things that we should. And sometimes we say things that we shouldn't say. Right? We have to eat some humble pie and we need to apologize and we need to say, hey, that wasn't right. I didn't really mean to say it that way. I was upset, I was frustrated. And when we do that, we gain people's respect. I'll just be honest, I've had to do that at my job. I've become frustrated and I've said something that I felt God told me, just shut up and don't say it. But in my frustration, I said, you know what? I really think this is the way it is. And out it came. And later on, I had to circle back around and say, you know what? I shouldn't have said that. And so being a disciple of Christ, like Sister Sally said and Brother Derry said, is something, it's a learning process. So if we don't have it right the first time, just keep going. All right, just keep going. So a couple key points that we should find in a follower of Jesus is obedience and sacrifice. Obedience and sacrifice. Now, this may sound trivial, it may sound silly, but I want to use it because I feel like it's applicable. And one example could be, I don't want to get up and go to work tomorrow. Because anybody ever had that feeling? God, I don't want to get up and go to work tomorrow because I know what's going to be there. I'm just being real with you for a minute. But God says, provide for your family. So you get up, you put on your boots, your shoes, your slippers, your mail person shoes. I don't know, whatever you do, your kitchen shoes. I wore those for a long time. And he says, you get out and you go provide for your family. That's something that God has told us to do. Right? Sometimes we feel guilty because we're working out in the world and we're not in the church full time. But serving in your community, whatever way that looks like, is being obedient to God. He told us to provide for our families. right? That's what we need to do. And it looks different for everybody, okay? So that was one example that I felt like sometimes I deal with. I'm like, God, I do not want to get up and go to work. But I know that he's called me to provide for my family. So I get up and I go to work. Following Jesus means that we are constantly confronted with a choice. Right? Constantly confronted with a choice. God is continually, we have choices every day that we can make. We have free will, right? Right? Got a couple people over here that have free will. Anybody else in the church have a free will? All right, three people. Praise the Lord. So, God is constantly putting choices in front of us, and those choices will affect the outcome of our day, right? Our choices will affect the outcome of our day. So if I choose to obey Christ, I believe my day is going to be better than if I choose to obey what I want to do. So our life is full of choices. So making Christ-centered choices is going to be a characteristic of a disciple of Jesus. Christ-centered choices. So Jesus has called us all to pick up our cross and follow him. Daily. What does that look like? Let me just ask you this. What does that look like for you? What do you feel like when you have to pick up your cross every day? What does that look like for you? I'm waiting for someone to respond if you couldn't tell. Somebody, what does it look like to carry your cross?
Personally, I think it's different for everyone because God knows us best. God knows we live in the flesh. God knows we live on this side of heaven, and it's going to be rough without him. And so I think for me, personally, a lot of how I was brought up isn't necessarily how I was supposed to be. So I think we have to deal with each and every day individually on choosing either I'm going to live with what I know or I'm going to walk in faith and say, no, I know that's wrong. I'm not meant to be an angry person because Galatians 5:22-23 tells us that the fruit of the Spirit, if you have the fruit inside of you, you'll have love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, and faith. Well, I can tell you I'm not a very patient person.
Amen, sister.
I am not a very gentle person. I'm not a coddler. I'm a nurse, and so if you don't have a bone sticking out, you're not bleeding all over, your head isn't gashed, you're fine, get up, you'll be good.
It's true.
I mean, it's just, and so I know, though, that that's, and I was brought up that way, so is it wrong? No, but it's something that I know that the Word of God tells me you should produce these things. And so I think it's a discipline, as we've been talking too. You can't always just do what you want. You can't do what you feel. And you can't do what comes easy. Because a relationship, if it's going to be a good one, it isn't always easy. It takes time because you have to know people and you have to know yourself. And sometimes looking in the mirror at yourself can be one of the hardest things to do. So I think every day it's different for each person, but if you're trying, I know God will meet you there. Mm-hmm. And I know he'll walk with you and he'll show you. So sure. That's what I think.
Absolutely. And that's a great point because we are continually growing as disciples. And so we should be doing a self-examination. We should be examining ourselves and really looking at where we are in our walk with Christ and asking ourselves the question and asking God this question, God, am I where you want me to be? Am I still immature as a Christian? Should I be a little more mature at the point that I'm at? Now, God is patient and God is merciful, and I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on anyone, but what I'm saying is, the reality of it is we need to ask God to point out the things in us that offend him. Because sin is offensive to God. Sin separates us from God, right? So if we're harboring these areas, these things in our life that are keeping us from God, they need to be exposed, right? We need to let the Holy Spirit come into our lives, come into our hearts, and do the work that He wants to do. Absolutely. So it's some days it's God, not what I want, right? Today I may feel like following my flesh, but I know in my spirit I need to do what You want me to do. So God, give me the strength today to lay down what I want and pick up what You want. Less of us, more of Him. Absolutely. Sister Sally.
Well, you asked, what is pick up your cross and following? Well, what it means to me is that when you pick up your cross, you're going back to the cross and you're watching and you're listening to what Jesus said and did, and you're taking into all that He did, because He was a man of love and He loved us, and everything He did was for the people. It's, you know, you talk about being a disciple. It's not having 12 people following you. You can be a disciple and never have one person that you actually got them to say, I accept Christ as my Savior. We all work towards that. Mm-hmm. But, and to follow Jesus, we try to be like Jesus. We're supposed to be like Jesus. Right. And what was He? He was love, compassion. And that's what we have to be, and trust and believe in Him, and to pick up your cross every day. Remember, go back to when you was first saved. That's when you picked up your cross, when you got saved. Mm-hmm. Remember all that.
Yeah.
Remember that. That's picking up your cross and stay in that, not say, oh, well, I did it. Now I'm done. I can go have a party. No, yeah. You keep it in your mind, and you always strive. Because my desire is to be as more like Jesus as much as I can be.
Right.
And that's what I think Jesus is like. We're supposed to follow Him and be like Him. But, of course, we'll never be exactly like Him. But we can show His characteristics and His love, His compassion. Just think what He did. He died for us.
Yeah. Yep. So selfless, being selfless is one way to pick up your cross every day. And a relationship with God is not just an experience, as Sister Sally was saying. It's not just, okay, I've accepted Christ, I've done my thing, now I'm done, I'm good to go. No, it's an ongoing relationship. Every day we need to go back to, okay, God, I understand that You are Lord. And that brings me to my next point here. A disciple must surrender to Jesus as Lord. There must be a change in authority. There must be a change in authority in our lives, right? So we no longer sit on the throne of our heart, right? We're no longer the ruler of our lives. We freely give that over to Christ and say, Lord, You are my King, and I want to do what You want me to do, right? And then He gives us a new nature to carry out what He wants us to do. He changes our hearts, gives us a new heart, right? Takes out a heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh, a tender, responsive heart. That's what God does for us. And a disciple will give their time, energy, and body to the work of the gospel. Now, does that mean I spend every waking moment looking for someone to disciple? No, because I live in this world. I do. I live in this world. There's times when I have to cook, though my wife does 95% of that. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. There's times when I have to do things around my house. There's times I have to fix things. I have to build things. I have to mow the yard. You know, there's things that we have to do in this world. I have to go to work. But when I hear God say, there's something for you to do over here, I start paying attention. And I start looking in that direction. It might not be right now in the moment, but God's got my attention, so now I'm going to be looking in that direction. Okay, God, what's going on over here? What are You doing over here? And we start to pay attention to that. And so that's a part of giving of our energy, right? And giving of our time means following through. okay, God, you've told me today that this is going to happen, and this is following the Spirit. You've told me today that this is going to happen, and so I need to maybe eat lunch here today. Well, I pack my lunch every day, and if I go there to eat lunch, it's going to cost me money. Suck it up, you know? Suck it up. You can do it, all right? I'm saying these because these are practical things that we can go run into in a day. And the last thing I want to talk about here with these 3 points is, well, the second thing anyways, is energy. What do we spend our energy doing? What do we spend our energy on? Sometimes, and I'll just use myself as an example, sometimes I spend a lot of energy thinking about things that I don't need to think about. Thinking about things that God has said, what are you doing? Why are you thinking these thoughts and letting them roll around in your head? Because it's wearing you out. It's stealing your energy that could be used in other areas. So what do we use our energy for? And the last thing is our body. What do we give God of our bodies? Now, we know that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and it is a resource is a resource that we should steward well. How do we steward well our bodies? Well, junk in, junk out, right? So we need to be careful what we watch. We need to be careful what we listen to. We need to be careful what we let roll around in our minds, what thoughts we entertain. Those are all things that affect this temple, all right? And honestly, I think the American church should eat a little bit healthier. And this is why. Because it gives room, or it can give room, for a spirit of infirmity that will weigh heavy on the church and can hinder us from doing what God wants us to do. Now, I'm not saying it's a sin to eat cheeseburgers and French fries. Lord Almighty. Because if that was the case, I don't know if I could live righteously, all right? Y'all hear what I'm saying? It's okay to eat good food, but we need to be good stewards of what God has given us. And I understand it's not easy, honestly. I just telling myself here, we ate supper before we came, and I broke into this chocolate bar. I love chocolate with almonds. I don't know what it is, but I could eat it every day. And most of the time I do. I'm just being honest. And God told me, don't you eat that. You're not going to feel good. And what did I do? Open up the chocolate bar and ate it. And on the way over here, I'm like, Lincoln, boy, I just don't feel good. And he's like, wow. But it can be little things just as simple as that that we know that may affect us in a negative way. There's a lot more that could be said about food and how it affects the body, but I'm going to save that for a later time. And, all right, we got a lot of time left. Praise the Lord. I want to talk a little bit here about relationship and connection within the body of Christ. For disciplers and disciples, a follower of Jesus is called to live and be connected to the vine. Who is the vine? He is the vine. We are the branch, right? We are connected to the vine. Okay, very simple, very basic. The branch extracts nourishment, or is given nourishment from the vine, right? If we become severed from the vine, we don't get any more nourishment. Okay, so in order to grow and be alive in Christ, we need to stay connected. How do we stay connected? Anybody have any idea? How do you stay connected to Jesus? Read the Bible. Okay. Pray. Read the Bible and pray. Anybody else? Okay. Share the gospel. Helps us stay connected. We're obedient. Anybody else? Okay. All right. Show love to others. Most of what we've said is possible because we're staying connected through prayer, reading the word, and obedience. I want to ask you this week, are you praying? Are you reading the word of God? Are you being obedient? Because if not, maybe we're not as connected to the vine as we think we are. Because we know Scripture. Say, well, I know some of the Bible. But are we taking it in daily? Are we daily spending time praying, seeking God, and being obedient to Him? A relationship with Christ means the disciple, that's us, we're the disciple, welcomes attachment to other members in the body of Christ. Right? The body is joined together, right? We're attached together, right? Okay. It means the disciple understands the value of interconnection and receiving and giving nourishment to others, even as the Spirit provides it through us. So that's what I mean when I say, you have something that I need to hear. God has put something inside of you that is giving life to another part of the body. But it's through His Spirit that these things happen. What if the Apostle Paul decided not to be the hand? And he said, I don't want to be connected to your body, God. I just want to have my relationship over here with you. And I don't really care what the rest of the world is doing. They can go over there and figure it out. But me and you, we're good, God. What if he decided to do that? We wouldn't have much of the New Testament, would we? So it's important that you fulfill your role in the body of Christ. It's vital to the growth of the body of Christ. You might think you're insignificant, but you are not, because God has created you on purpose for a purpose. And we only know those things through prayer and reading His Word. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. It says this, instead we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow. All right, I'm reading the New Living Translation. I want to read verse 16 again. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So if Sister Maggie, and she would never do this, but sits over there and crosses her arms and says, I'm not going to be a greeter this week. I'm not going to do it. I just want to sit over here in my chair and talk to Sister Peggy or whatever it is. It's as simple as that. But we don't do that. We have to understand that each part of the body is important. Anybody have any questions or comments? All right, so I want to read this too, and we talked about it just a little bit. No disciple was meant for isolation. Individual spiritual growth is crucial to the growth of the corporate body, but individualism is not the purpose or aim of being a disciple. In other words, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. And I heard this example once, and I don't remember who said it, but there was a preacher who lived, maybe it was 100 years ago, maybe it was more, but the only heat that was available was wood or coal, okay? And he was a pastor, and he had a body of believers, and he noticed one guy stopped coming. He had been coming, he was a new believer, he came for a while, and he decided, it's too far of a drive, too far of a ride, whatever it was inconvenient for him, so he stopped coming, and this concerned the pastor. And so he went over with him, and let him in his house, and they sat in front of the fireplace, and the pastor was, you know, searching for words to say to convince this person that they needed to come back to church. And then it occurred to him. So he took a pair of tongs and pulled a single coal out of the fire and put it on the hearth. And it wasn't long before that single coal was cold, but the rest of the fire was still hot. There's strength and encouragement and nourishment in the body of Christ. So it's important that we stay knit together tightly. One of the easiest ways to be separated from the body of Christ is offense. Right? Offense. Let me bring this up a little bit. There we go. Can you hear me better now? All right, is offense. So what do we have to do to avoid offense? Not be easily offended. Right? Sometimes we get our feelings hurt. And we think, well, Sister Sally was mean to me, and she didn't shake my hand today, and I went to say goodbye to her when we left church, and she went the other way. Probably because Sister Sally was busy shaking somebody else's hand, and she didn't see you coming, because that's not Sister Sally. Sometimes we have to check our feelings and check our emotions. As Pastor Darius preached a couple Sundays ago, maybe it was more, I can't remember, but he said sometimes we need to hang our feelings up on the door and pick them up when we go out because of what's more important is the growth and edification of the body of Christ. Yeah, we're responsible for our own actions. How we respond to things and how we treat others. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Go ahead, come on up here to the microphone. You got something good to say.
We cannot use the excuse like, I've had a bad day, so I can insult somebody and God will forgive me. That's breezy grace. We don't want to live like that.
Right.
We are, like the brother said, we're disciples because we love the Lord. It's just like when you love somebody, you get married and you want to learn more and more about them. It never stops. It never stops. And I don't want my relationship with God to ever stop. I'm hungry to know more and more about Him. I want that Holy Spirit to stir me if I forget to do this or forget to do that in my flesh, because I know I'm still carnal, somewhat carnal, but I want to be more and more like, as the Bible says, don't think it's wrong to want the characteristics of Jesus. That's good. That's a good thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, we need to be, our goal is to be more and more like Christ. That's the goal. Right. We are responsible for our own words and actions. Yep. So let's be filled with the Spirit of God so they're His words and not our own. Right. So here's some more questions to talk about discipleship. And we need to ask ourselves these questions. Do I live a life of spiritual transformation, obedient sacrifice, and relational connection to Christ and His body? So am I still being transformed into the image of God? Am I obedient? Do I sacrifice what I want for what God wants? And do I allow myself to be relationally connected in the body of Christ? Do I allow myself to be connected to the body of Christ? Because that's when we will see exponential growth. When we as the body of Christ become relational. And we build good characteristics in the body of Christ. So practically, how do we make disciples? And we've talked about it, and I think the answer has been put out there, and I think it was good. But how do we make disciples by what we've already talked about tonight? Somebody, how do we make disciples? How do you make disciples? What do you do now to make a disciple?
Everybody's very quiet tonight. Everybody's afraid to talk.
No, I'm nervous. Thanks for coming up, sister.
You know me. I'll talk. I think a lot of it is, how do you... Everybody is so afraid to be who they are. Be real. You know, you're afraid to be who you truly are. When you first meet someone, it's butterflies, you know, if it's a significant other, you know, and you just ask questions and you talk and you just talk for hours and hours and hours. And that's what Jesus wants. He wants us to have a relationship. It's different when you develop a relationship with a friend, because there's personalities, you know, there's personality. I'm a very strong personality, you know, and I will just, like I said, I'm a nurse, so I'm very black and white. You know, I know what to do. And if you don't do it, why aren't you doing it? You know, so it's different for each in person. And I think we have to understand that it's a relationship. And I think when it comes to, for me, how I understand is a mother and a daughter. You know, my oldest daughter, we butt heads. But because we butt heads, does that mean that I just say, I'm done with you? I can't stand it. I'm done. It's too hard. Or do I say, no, I love you. Love covers a multitude. And it's like that with the relationship. When you sit time and you spend time with someone, sometimes you're going to rub each other the wrong way. You'll say something that, why did they say that? But when you make it, you learn that you just, you're forgiving. You know what I mean? You have to take time to get to know each other, and you have to be forgiving and say, this is the body of Christ. You ever bump your elbow? Oh, that hurts. But you don't cut your elbow off, right? You know, you bumped your elbow and it hurts. Right. Or have you ever, you know, stubbed your toe? It's like that with the body of Christ. You might have a brother or sister that stubs your toe. You know, you might have a brother or sister that hits your elbow, you know, and it's kind of like that. You don't just shrug it off because they're meant to be there. No, you're going to say, ow, that hurt. And you have to keep going. You have to build that relationship, because iron sharpens iron, you know. It's just, right. You have to work alongside of each other, because you have to have each other. That's what Jesus said. You know, you have to go do this. Yeah. And it takes time.
Just because a relationship is hard doesn't mean it's not worth it. Right? Our relationship with Christ isn't always going to be easy. It's going to cost us something. It's going to take work. It's going to take time to develop. Right? But it is more than worth it. Pastor Darius.
Yeah, going back to your question when you asked how do we make disciples, it's a really, really good question. Because when we read Matthew 28:19, that talks about making disciples, where's the emphasis of that scripture? We put the emphasis on make disciples, but that's not the emphasis of the scripture. The emphasis is by going, teaching the Trinitarian formula, baptizing them, teaching them, by going.
Yeah.
So the emphasis that Jesus wanted to give was go. So you cannot make disciples if you don't go.
Right.
If you don't go to a place to witness to people. If you don't get out of your comfort zone. So how do you make disciples? Very simple. By going. Teaching.
That's right.
About God, His love, baptizing them. But going is the emphasis. And
absolutely,
that's where we can be effective for God. We are not effective totally. Let me say we are, but we're not totally effective in the Great Commission if we don't go.
Amen.
So, going.
Yeah. So I want to say this. As Pastor Darius says, we'll never establish a relationship with someone if we don't first go. We have to first go. And here's the thing that just came to me, is that Paul went out and he evangelized. He established churches. He was an apostle. And he stayed where he preached for a time to help establish all the disciples that he just made, right? But there came a time when Paul had to leave. He had to go on because God was calling him to continue to go. And when that happens, we need to put our faith in God that His Holy Spirit is continuing to do the work that He began. Right? The goal is to get people connected, not with a person. Well, it is, He is a person, but with God. That is the goal. And we need to be there for people when they need us. But the goal is to get someone so rooted and grounded in Christ that they are looking to Him first. Because it is the same Spirit that lives in us that lives in them. The same Spirit that gave us eternal life is the same Spirit that gives others eternal life. So we need to have our faith in God that His Spirit is able and is speaking to them, is alive within them, and is just like He's alive in us. I'm talking, when I say them, I mean new disciples, new Christians, who may not understand or be rooted and grounded in Christ like we are. And so we think, oh, we need to be there for them, we need to be there for them, and we do need to be there for them, but we also need to trust that God is doing the work. God is doing the work. We are the vessel. Amen. Good comments. We're nearing the end here, and I have a couple points that I want to just touch on here. So things that could hinder our walk with God or would hinder us to continue to be a disciple of God, because sometimes we are walking with God and we hit this hard place in our lives, and God begins to reveal something that's been in us for a while, and we don't like it. And we say, God, I don't know how that's there. I've been following You for a long time, and so we don't go that way. We say, God, I'm going to stay right here. Like I said, I don't know what's over there. It's kind of scary over there. It's been dark for a while, and I don't understand what that is or how that's there. But God begins to reveal things in us. So it's important for us as Christians to continue our spiritual growth with God by saying, God, is there something in me that's hindering my walk with You? I think it was David, and I think it was in the Psalms, that he said, God, point out anything in me that offends You. We get ready. Because if it's an honest prayer, you'll sincerely grow in God. So ask God to help you connect with other believers, to provide help to them, and to receive help from them for the purpose of spiritual growth. I don't know if you've ever had the humbling experience of someone who you've newly discipled. God is using them to help you grow spiritually. It's a humbling experience, but it's also amazing at the same time because, like I said, it's the Spirit of God working in them and working through them. So I want to ask you these three questions. When was the last time you intentionally went and made a disciple? Purposefully said, God, I'm going to go, I'm going to build a relationship, I'm going to make a disciple that's going to make other disciples. When was the last time we taught anyone what Jesus said? And this isn't an accusation. This is one of those self-examinations because I'm asking myself these questions also. Are we clinging to the Word of God and bearing spiritual fruit? Because if we're not bearing spiritual fruit, we're living in our flesh. Right? So, I praise God for His mercies that they're new every morning. Thank God that His work in us is continuing in spite of ourselves sometimes, right? So there is hope for the disciple that fails or falls, right? There's hope for the disciple that fails or falls. We need to trust in the Spirit of God that He knows what He's doing and He knows where He's leading us. Even though we might know where He's leading us, He knows where He's leading us. He knows the end, He knows the outcome, and we need to trust that it's good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Any last questions or comments before we dismiss in prayer?
One last comment.
You hear that? One last comment. This is it.
Yeah. You can't be a disciple without having the love of Jesus in you, and that's what you show to others. You don't tell them, oh, you're doing it wrong, you're not right. You show the love of Christ, and you just say His words to them and walk with Him, because We're supposed to be like him, so act like him. Right. Just show him when you talk to your people you're wanting to disciple.
Amen. 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 Well, thank you for your comments. Thank you for your questions tonight. I hope you leave here encouraged to go out and share the word of God with someone, establish a relationship to build someone up for the kingdom of heaven, teach them who Jesus is. One announcement that I completely failed to announce before service: if you plan on participating in the softball game this Sunday, it's teens versus adults. So if you like playing softball, if you're good at softball, if you're bad at softball, if you just want to come and watch and eat concessions, welcome to come. Starts at 1:30, and it's going to be at the new softball field behind Cary High School. So it was going to be at the Waterworks Park, but it's no longer going to be there because of some activities that are taking place there. It's going to be relocated to the new softball field behind Cary High School. I think there is a location pin. There will be a location pin if you need help. There will be a diagram of help to you how to get there, but Cary High School is right downtown. Just go out back. You'll find the softball field. We have a couple of prayer requests. Erin Yerkes, I believe is the name, her grandma, or their grandma, needs prayer. And then there's a gentleman that I work with. His name's Devin. He needs prayer also. If anybody else has a prayer request, by the lifting up of your hand, God knows those needs, and let's just lift them up together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for the work that you're doing, God, in your body. We thank you that you're preparing us, God, to carry out your work. Thank you that you're long-suffering and merciful. Lord, I just pray, God, that you would move on every request. You know every need, God, and we just pray that you would meet them in a way, God, that just exceeds expectations, Lord. And we just give you thanks. Bless each home. Bless each family, God, and we just give you all the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.